Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Praise God. This morning's message, it was very powerful in my spirit and flowed out with an ease. Some Thursdays, I write every Thursday. I do not accept phone calls. I don't even work in the office so they can bother me. I shut down. I wait on God. I have to do this so that I'm never grabbing a message. I don't ever grab a message. I have to hear from the Lord. This one came easy as I heard the confirmation of my message from another preacher on Monday night. On Sundays, when you wonder what I do as a pastor, I preach two services and then I go home and I watch three different services, two or three, to fill my spirit, because when I'm giving out to you, I'm pouring. And then when I get home, that's why many pastors fail, because they're not feeding their own spirit. I learned this when I was on the road for years. Feed your spirit. He who refreshes himself will refresh others. And so I have my picks. I don't listen to foolishness. I have my picks that I listen to. And I will get a message from myself, and I ensure that I'm hearing something that lifts me up so that I don't come back to you dry and that I'm always staying fresh in the spirit. But this Sunday we had different meetings here, and I didn't get to a Sunday night. We actually had Momentum, 40 South, 20 North. You're on, this is our new group. If you're in that age category, we were on last week with the missionaries, and so I didn't get to that. So I listened Monday night, and I was in my house, and I'm listening to this message, which you will hear a clip of later, and I went, God, I've been saying that over and over and over at Pickering Pentecostal. Nobody's listening. So I picked up myself and stopped the pity party. And I went, God, you're confirming that I'm on the right track. I'm not crazy. Do you know why? When I heard the message which echoed in my heart, I wept. I was crying out to God. I'm like, God, I've been saying this. And I've been saying to God previous to this, why am I the only one preaching hard like this? Have some of you wondered why I'm the only one preaching hard? Did any of you wonder? Sometimes you come, you're like, you know, other churches, they get a nice light message, and pastors just always going like this. And I've asked God that. I'm like, God, give me a light, sweet message. God's gonna bless you real good. You can stay in your compromises, because God's okay with it. I feel a blessing coming all over you. Yes, you shall be blessed. Touch somebody and say, blessing, blessing, bless. I'm like, God, I can't ever come to that state. Why am I riveted this way? And I've questioned God at times, going, God, I'm preaching through the book of Matthew. Even when I script for the other pastors, it's tough passages. Why can't I give you the sweet Jesus? Oh, everything is going to be all right. And as I complained to the Lord, I heard once in my spirit, stop it. You're not the only one. I have many with a prophetic voice. That was a word God gave me. I write down words. I have it in books. I can show you. He said, stop it. You're not the only one. I have many with a prophetic voice. And so I've been cleaning up my belly aching. And I'm excited as we continue through this book of Matthew, the series commissioned by Christ. Commissioned by Christ. So today's message comes out of Matthew chapter 16. And the title is Guard Against Spiritual Blindness. Guard Against Spiritual Blindness. Matthew chapter 16, verse 1 to 4. One day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to test Jesus, demanding that he show them a miraculous sign from heaven to prove his authority. He replied, "You know the saying, red sky at night means fair weather tomorrow. Red sky in the morning means foul weather all day. You know how to interpret the weather signs in the skies, but you don't know how to interpret the signs of the times. Only an evil, adulterous generation would demand a miraculous sign, but the only sign I will give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah." Then Jesus left them and went away. The problem with this text today, there's never a problem with God's word, that there's a problem with this text. The problem is this passage is very alarming because we dealt with it similarly in Matthew chapter 12, which I preached on March 19th. So you can go back online, ppclife.ca, and listen to my March 19th message. In fact, there's nothing to preach because I preached it powerfully on March 19th. It was Matthew chapter 12, verse 37 to 39. And Jesus says, "The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you." One day, some teachers of the religious law and Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we want you to show us a miraculous sign to prove your authority." But Jesus replied, "Only an evil, adulterous generation would demand a miraculous sign. But the only sign I will give them is the sign of Jonah the prophet." So today, we're at a place in this 2023 where we're seeing a lot of things that are so similar. And this passage comes again with the same similarity. And I think what we can almost say in 2023 is repeat, repeat. Everything seems to be on a repeat. Are you tracking with me? What we're hearing, we keep hearing it in a repeat. The signs we're seeing it in a repeat. We've heard this already, we've seen this already. And what happens when we begin to hear and see the same thing, we become dull to it until we're desensitized from what is happening and we're allowing ourselves now to accept the worldliness and think, "Okay, God, everything's going to be okay." Folks, the word cannot change. When God sends his repeat, it is for us to wake up and realize how serious this is. I said it even in the March message. I said, as parents, when you repeat yourself, aren't you getting to the point? The first repeat is, clean up your room. I'm sorry, the first word, clean up your room. What's the second one? Come on, parents, what's the second one? I said, right? Talk to me, parents, don't be dull on me. The first one, you're like, go clean up your room, right? That was Matthew 12. Then when you get to Matthew 6, I said. And if it comes a third time, online someone gave the third one. Why are the wars today coming as such a surprise? Because we're just not accepting the fact that the times have changed and the signs of the times are coming faster now than ever before. The word of the Lord is being fulfilled. And guess what, folks? The Antichrist is preparing to come onto the world stage to propagate his false peace. And many will accept it because we became dull to the signs of the times. When the Antichrist comes, he's coming because the wars are coming one after the other. The church became so dull and so light that we didn't see that we're in the latter days and that we now have to be more vigilant to advance the kingdom of God. So we become like the world's like, "Oh, it's just another one. Oh, it's just another one." And we begin to desensitize like the ungodly people have become desensitized to the atrocities of our day. And Matthew 16 is showing us Because we're not accepting the facts that the times have changed and the signs of the times are coming faster and the word of the Lord is being fulfilled and the Antichrist is preparing his entrance. Because we're not doing that, God keeps sending us nuggets of warning so that we would recognize it's a time where people will go into great lostness if we are not vigilant about our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there anybody here today? So Matthew 16 is a repeat, but when you look in the scripture, it's not the same people Jesus was talking to. It's a different set of people. Let me tell you why. In Matthew chapter 16, it says Jesus is in Magdala. And Magdala is a seashore city well over 100 kilometers from Jerusalem. Those who've been to Israel, have you been to Magdala where they have the temples? If you've been there, wave your hands. Let me see. I know the team that went with me last year, we were at Magdala. In fact, my little puppy Chusa is named because we were at that temple, and that's where I got the name from. Magdala is over 100 miles from Jerusalem. So when Jesus was addressing them in Magdala, it says the religious people came and said, "Show us a sign." And Jesus gave them the same answer because in Matthew chapter 12, it was the religious people in Jerusalem who showed up and said the same thing to him. Religious people have the same talk everywhere, no matter what church they're in. Hello? And folks, can I ask you, what more signs do we want before we believe the world is in chaos? The Antichrist is preparing his end game and Jesus is preparing his return. What more signs do we want? They said, "Show us another sign." And if I were Jesus, I'm like, your buddies asked that in Jerusalem and I cursed them off. But Jesus just calmly repeated the same thing to the new set of people. Folks, just because you hear a sound from Christians who no longer know how to be Christ followers of the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't mean it's right. Know the Word of God. Know Him by the power of prayer. Know Him for yourself, or else you will be deceived when the Antichrist comes. Spiritual blindness is an indictment against the church today. I need to emphasize this. Spiritual blindness is an indictment against the church today. And our society is so consumed with natural happenings. We've got internet. We've got Wi-Fi. We have AI. We have this. We have that. You've heard me talk a lot about AI. AI is going to take over. And it will consume you unless you know the Word of God and be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Because He can't replicate the Holy Spirit. He can only replicate natural happenings of people. Do you know why? We've got Google all over, and Google has been monitoring our behavior. Google right now knows my song list. Hello? I wake up in the morning, Google knows my, I say play this, and it starts to play my song set. Why? They have mastermind how to manipulate who we are so they can prepare for the next. But one thing you can't mastermind is the power of the Holy Spirit in me. That's why we must be filled with the Spirit. How many people find yourself talking to these devices? Telling it to shut up, I didn't talk to you. How many? I have an alarm system. And I'm up, I'm in my office working away, and I say something on the phone, and it goes, I didn't get that. I'm like, shut up, I didn't talk to you. Come on. How many of you have been doing that? We're there. But folks, only people who truly love Jesus and are devoted to His word and to prayer and are prepared consciously for His coming will avoid spiritual blindness. It is an indictment against the church unless we take it seriously. So remember, I started off, I said, I heard a confirming word. And I'm going to ask everyone to go online and listen to this message. So I gave you a clip of it now to tantalize you that this is a prophetic word. The Bible says that we must guard prophecy. When I hear a true prophetic word that lines up with what my spirit knows to be true, I want my church, I want the church worldwide to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to those who are in touch with the Spirit of God. Would you run that clip for us? Would you take this in right now?
And I was struck, as many New Yorkers, by something that we didn't expect or expect to see is when we got up to see clear skies, and then all of a sudden we walked outside and everything was orange outside. How many remember when all of a sudden you walked out and the entire city looked like it was on fire, as if a bomb dropped? It was the residue of the Canadian fires that were sweeping from the north over New York City. The skies changed and it almost seemed apocalyptic, as if New York City was on fire. I saw people stopped and in shock and filming with a concern, as if we were entering really apocalyptic times. And I had somebody stop me and say, "Is this the end? Is it over now?" And God, at that moment, began to move upon my heart that this is what happens when God suddenly comes to bring soberness to a people or soberness to a nation that won't listen to when he's speaking to them. The revival of Nineveh doesn't get talked about that much when revival is spoken of, but it was an entire city. In fact, 100% of the city, we're told, turns to God. Jonah 4:11 tells us that 120,000 people turned to God in that moment. Judgment was held back. Revival came. But history is cyclical because sin is predictable. And that's why, stay with me now, that's why Jonah and the book of Nahum are not only connected, but they are current. That's why Nahum, this small little book of the Old Testament, should have this huge bearing and soberness to us today. And it really begins to answer this question: how can a nation that has known God's blessing come under God's judgment? And listen, it may get me in trouble, but I don't care. I really don't. I don't care what anybody feels. I know what the Bible says about this. But here's what I want you to understand. When you're watching the raising up of people in our universities and on our streets protesting against Israel, there's something deeper that's happening. People are shouting. Listen, it's a society that's hating what God loves. It's a society saying, if you love this, we hate it, and we'll protest. There's more that's happening here, folks. You can sit in a church with literally a stubborn heart, and the pulpits are going, there'll be peace, there'll be peace. Folks, I want to be in a church that I'm convicted. I want to be in a church that my sin can't be in hiding. Folks, there's... Listen, you can leave here. Stop your tithes. Stop whatever you want. You could do all that. Folks, I'm just telling you this. I know what I'm called to do. I know what this church is supposed to be. And I'm telling you today, listen to me close. You can find places that you can live under a stubborn heart and under preaching that will never deal with stubbornness of heart. I want everything clean in my heart. I want everything out of this heart. I want a heart pure before God. God, may this always be a place that the Holy Spirit is here to convict us. And only warn you, there is a storm coming to this nation. Folks, there is coming something to our country and even possibly right here into New York City. It'll start in New York City and possibly D.C. again. We have been told that even just last month from our southern borders, 1,500, it's all in the news, 1,500 no-fly list people are trying to get in to our country, both seen as terrorists. In fact, we've just been told that even our government has just pulled out right here in New York City people that are going into hotels that are possible terrorist threats to our city that's right here. And I believe, folks, here it comes. I believe this. I believe we have to brace for another terrorist attack to this nation. I'm telling you that right now. People will look at me and they go, "You're out of your mind." But I'm telling you, folks, I'm telling you, we're at a place that God has got to get us back to our knees again. And if we don't, Since we won't listen to the trumpet, since we won't listen to what God is saying, God will wake up slumbering preachers and slumbering churches. But I pray here, may God awaken us here and just know what's happening. Folks, listen to me. We woke up one morning in February 24th, 2022, and Putin and the Russian army is invading the Ukraine. 1 month ago, Hamas terrorist attacks on October 7th. We wake up on a Saturday morning and we hear about the brutality that took place on the other side of the Gaza fence. And I've truly believe that we have to brace for something that we may wake up one morning and find happening in our city and in our country again.
I am encouraging you to please go on Times Square Church, tsc.nyc, and listen to that entire message November 11th. Why is a nation that's been blessed by God so under God's curse? And that Canada, we take it very easily, although we're safe. Most terrorists come through here. And if they go through here, they're here. Hello? Not most. I shouldn't say that's quantifying. Some come through Canada because we are light in every way. And folks, we take things for granted when we should be taking things with seriousness. I loved, he ended in his message, he said, and whenever you guys go back, you can buy it for me because it should be mine. He said someone brought him a t-shirt that said, I'm not angry, I'm just passionate. When I heard it, I went, no, that's my t-shirt. Right? Don't you guys think that's me? That's my t-shirt. Folks, I'm passionate about the next generation understanding the kingdom of God is at hand. Matthew 12 and Matthew 16, both, another unjustified quest for more signs. They're asking, give us more signs. He's going, how much signs do you want? I've been showing you sign after sign after sign, and everything I show you, you take it for granted. And we want God to show us more. Why? Because we love what the world offers more than we want to believe what God is saying. Because we're obstinate about Christianity, but open to a worldly lifestyle. Because we don't want to put our trust in the Word of God. We prefer what people are showing us, and it makes us look good. There was a time as Christians, they were poor as they say church mice. Why do they go church mice are poor? Because there was no food in the church. That's why they were poor. They used to say Christians are poor as church mice, but richer than the wealthiest man on earth. Now Christians are rich, but they are so poor in spirit because we have bought into the world and we are not serious enough about what is about to happen. How will the next generation know that God is real if we are not taking the kingdom of God seriously? I'm calling on this church. Matthew says, you will not get another sign. And the Lord reminds us in Jeremiah 17, the human heart is very deceitful, desperately wicked. Who knows how bad it is? God, only you know how bad our heart is. But today we repent of the things that we have done. The Pharisees were religious opposers of Christ's work. They only focus on the smallest detail. Everything was wrong to them. We heard Pastor Steve share it last week. They sowed seeds of doubt to everyone. They derailed the Christian community. There are people now that say they're Christian, but they're trying to derail the church. And that was what the Pharisees were like. And Matthew focuses on this, reminding us it costs something to serve Jesus. And if it's costing you nothing, I don't know who you're serving. Oh, come on, don't go quiet on me. There's another service coming at 11, but if you go quiet, I will preach till 12. The Pharisees focus on man-made rules. They did not care if people were sick and dying, if people were lost, confused, demonized, crippled, distressed. They didn't care about the sin of their land. They just wanted the perfection of their religious behavior. They counted everything. They opposed everything. We are similar to that today. The church is similar to that, and we must change. There's an unholiness to the way Christians justify their behavior. Many Christians today, gossip is just, I'm just reporting. Slander, I'm just protecting the church. Backbiting, I have the right to speak up, you know. Jealousy, It's my right to believe for favor for myself too. Rage, well, I'm human. Anger, well, they got in my way. It's my temperament. It's my character. God will understand. And we justify our behavior, very unconcerned about the unhealthiness of our lifestyle. And we want God to look at us and say, everything is okay. But I want you to know, many Christians today do not realize how much they replicate the behavior of the Pharisees that Jesus addressed in Matthew 12 and Matthew 16. But we need to know it today because we are in serious times. Anybody believe we're in serious times? So please take note, folks. Wrong is wrong, regardless of who you are. I don't care. Do you know what we did? And I preach this forever and a day. We so glamorize people who are famous that we try to live to be like them. The other day, I was just doing a commercial, and they were doing this something. There's some little show again about something the Kardashians. Y'all know some fool stupidity. Anybody know what that was? Oh, Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Look, come on. This has been about a decade I'm saying this. What is this Kardashian? So you go and you pump yourself up and add more than God gave you. And you put it everywhere. And all of it. And I'm supposed to keep up with that? All I got is real good. And I'm happy with it. You need to be happy with yourself. We're living to replicate all this worldliness. And we've forgotten half the people you're looking at, that's a fake face. That ain't even theirs. But give them another 5 years and something's going to cave in. We've come to a place of convenient Christianity where we judge others but not ourselves. Can I tell you, convenient Christianity judges others. But convicted Christians become Christ followers. They judge themselves first and do everything they can to change. People are finding evil to be convenient because it helps them to justify their behavior in their own light sins. Light sins, that's it. I see some people taking pictures. Just leave that. Convenient Christianity. Tweet that out. Actually, take pictures of it and send it out because there's a lot of convenient Christianity. I don't want one of you to fail in the end. If one of you fail and don't make it to heaven, I'm standing up at the pearly gate. I'll say, God, I told them. In fact, my best statement to you is please, you better pray I outlive you. Because if I die and go up before you, I'm going to say, God, send me back to them. I'm going to haunt you. If there's a way that can happen. That's very sacrilegious. I'm not even sure how heaven works. But one thing I know, if he gave me an opportunity, I wouldn't go back to the ungodly because they'd get saved. I'll go back to you. Jesus, help me. Convicted Christians, they judge themselves. Folks, all sin is sin. But in the church, we've made sin the people out there and us. We're so pious and righteous. We do nothing wrong. That's spiritual blindness. That's spiritual blindness, folks. We have to stop. Take it seriously. I love this church. I love what God's called me to. I love ministering the word of God. I don't give you pablum. I don't give you express light coffee. I'm telling you right now, we're in chaos. And the world needs people who know who they are in Christ and God. And that's who you need to be. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, oh God, speak to the hearts of your people today, for we need to repent. Repentance is a choice, oh God, and we need to make it. Oh God, help us not to be spiritually blind, but to accept the fact that when you had to speak to the Pharisees twice, you shared the same exact words to them, and you gave them no other answer because they already knew what the truth was, but they were ignoring it. Help us not to ignore truth in the name of Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Even online, would you listen to me clearly? It's time to serve the Lord. It's time to serve the Lord. It's time to make a faithful and conscious decision that I will serve the Lord all the days of my life, no turning back.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.